Previously, on Unnecessary Side Project.
Matt talked about picking up boxes out of human excrement, and Joe got some free expired beef jerky. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Unnecessary Side Project, Episode 3. I'm Jimmy James.
And I am Captain Kirk.
And welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us again. And Matt, how are you feeling?
I'm doing great. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing very well. I'm feeling strong. I feel like I'd lift a mountain.
I'm feeling very caffeinated at the moment.
Yeah, you've been having coffee like nobody's business.
Yep, that's fine.
I stopped having coffee because I was worried I'd be jittery, and I didn't want people to hear it in my voice. But I'm sure you can hear the congestion in my face. I'm just from toe to the top of my head, just filled with mucus.
So that's grief.
That's a beautiful image for any of you out there.
Yeah. Speaking of coffee, actually, coffee will come into play with today's podcast.
Oh, boy.
I won't spoil that just yet.
All right.
But we thought today we would do a theme for our podcast, and the theme would be conspiracy theories.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the collective gasp of our audience, I think.
Oh, they're finally touching on it.
Yep. Well, they went there, the third rail of podcasting.
We did it. We made it.
We thought we'd do a variety of different things with conspiracy theories. But one of them I thought we would sort of begin with, maybe I'll mention my coffee now, are conspiracy theories that you actually think are true.
Right.
So there's the big conspiracy theories, which we can talk about in a couple seconds.
Okay.
One I actually think is true, which is completely outside the scope of this question. But
okay.
I had this weird thing when I was in high school and in middle school where I was convinced that caffeine was the main cause of cancer.
Really?
And I thought that there's so much money in coffee and in pop and in chocolate and all these different things that have caffeine that there's no way that they would allow, quote unquote, they would allow.
That's a big part of conspiracy theories.
Now, I'm sure, anyone out there who knows anything about science or medicine probably thinks I'm an idiot for thinking that, but that's one conspiracy theory I actually used to believe. But
right.
What's one of the, do you have any big ones, any of the major ones that you actually believe?
There isn't maybe a specific alien landing that I believe is true or that there's been a cover-up, but I do believe that the idea that somebody knows about the existence of extraterrestrials or that they have landed on Earth, I feel like it has to be true for so... I mean, the idea that, you know, people are doing it for attention or that they want to get their name in the news. But people, you know, whose lives pretty much have been destroyed because they've come out and said, I was abducted by aliens or, you know, I saw aliens overhead or instances where thousands of people see a thing in the sky. And, you know, then it's been, you know, there's so many different eyewitness accounts for something that can't really be explained that I feel like it has to exist. I'd like to believe that we're not alone out there. You know,
your theory isn't just that someone knows something exists. You think that's not only that, but people have actually had contact in some way, if it's just looking at it.
Yeah.
Do you go that far and believe it? Or
well, I mean, you're gonna label me as a nut for
there's two different things. I 100% agree with you that someone knows, I think. I think someone in the government probably has an awareness of a microbe from Mars or whatever, and maybe it existed like a million or a billion years ago.
Yeah.
But actually human beings having contact with it, that's where I don't necessarily...
I mean, when you say it like that, it really sounds ridiculous. But I want to believe. I'm like Fox Mulder in that.
I was thinking of the poster in my mind.
Okay, on the topic of X-Files, did you see the most recent movie?
No.
Don't bother. It's not particularly good.
All right.
The only good thing about that movie is that Mulder and Scully finally hook up.
Spoiler alert.
Well, sorry, audience. It's been out for half a decade at this point.
Well, there you go.
But yes, they finally hook up. But there's no buildup.
Yeah.
It's just, Mulder is in, you know, he's been kicked out of the FBI and he's living in this little hut in the middle of nowhere, and Scully has to go find him because weird things are happening and they got to get the X-Files back together. And she goes to find him and, you know, they open the door. It's like, oh, hi. And then the next scene is just them laying in bed together. Like, what?
XXX-Files.
Oh, my goodness. It's, I mean, good for them, I'm sure. you know, nerds everywhere were finally happy to know definitively that there was tension between Mulder and Scully.
You know what's funny is that tension in those shows is a big drawing factor. So I heard that when Rachel and Ross got together on Friends, like the ratings plummeted. When Niles and Daphne got together, ratings went down. Like, I think it's all... So that's when they break them back up again right away.
Yeah.
They need that tension.
The will they or won't they is a big draw. Yeah, Moonlighting. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
Is that Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. That was another will they or won't they. And there was, like... But the basis of that show was the sexual tension between the two of them. And then I think after the first season, they hooked up. And then just nobody cared anymore. Yeah. It's like, okay, they did it. Same thing happened with Pam and Jim on The Office.
Yeah, so I stopped watching after that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, great. Well, that's it. You know, that's like a nice, you know, everything got wrapped up with a bow right there. Back to conspiracies.
Yeah, back to conspiracies.
Aliens. Yeah, somebody has to know something, or something has actually happened that has not been propagated out to the general populace.
Yeah. So I think what happens with that, and this is going to the one I believe. So I think there's so much covering up that happens with weapons, the Cold War, all this different stuff.
Yeah.
That people see a cover up of some kind, like Roswell or something. Something crashes and it turns into like the wildest scenario. So the one that I believe, if you want to call it a belief, is the JFK assassination.
Okay.
I don't like the official story just seems to be so fishy. About how like a single bullet can travel in different ways and, you know, land different places. So the official story of, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald into the book repository or depository, what it's called, making that shot, and then he gets killed a couple days later or whatever it is, and it all gets wrapped up in a bow, just like you said. Just like that I don't buy. Now, that being said, do I think it was some like mob hit or something else? No, it could just be there's some inept cover-ups in the Dallas police or something like that they're just worried about that getting out, so they just cover it all up. But that's when I totally think that there's some covering up going on.
The one thing I want to mention about that is that the magic bullet idea, where, you know, he gets hit and he goes back to the left, but the bullet must have been coming from a different way, or how did it not hit the guy in front of him, or that they actually JFK was on a raised seat above. There was a, I believe it was the governor was sitting in front of him.
Yeah.
And he was essentially sitting on the bottom of the car. He didn't have a seat, which is why the, you know, if you assume that they're sitting at the same level, it's impossible for the bullet to come from anywhere except for the grassy knoll, which is what everybody's saying. Yeah. The shot was from the grassy knoll. It wasn't from Lee Harvey Oswald. But as soon as you lower that guy 2 feet, it can come from Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, so that I didn't know. So there you go. So myth busted. But
we can just shut it down now.
But even like I don't think Lee Harvey Oswald was known as a particularly sharp marksman. And then to make that shot, I mean, that does happen. So maybe that's just sometimes the most, you know, realistic explanation, is it? But that's one where I think that someone covered something up there. Like, why would they have the most wanted man in the United States just kind of barely protected? And that seems really creepy.
Yeah,
what's that guy's name? Jack Ruby, is that his name?
Jack Ruby.
Yeah, that seems like, okay, even if the assassination wasn't let's say it was exactly how they reported it, the quote unquote magic bullet, everyone was
right.
But then, like, who put him up to it? Maybe there was more to it there. And so Jack Ruby is involved to cover up who did pay him.
Yeah, I think anytime you're going to have someone as high profile as the president of the United States of America, during a time where he's not exactly the most liked person by a number of different groups, conspiracy theories are going to come out of everywhere. I mean, it could have been the mob, it could have been the Cubans, it could have been the Soviets. Well, I mean, the Soviets and the Cubans, but he had a lot of enemies at that point in time. So I can get why people want to latch onto that, and it's so easy for people to latch onto different things in that. But I maybe it's boring to see it as face value, as, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald did the shot from where he was, and the police office, the police didn't, you know, do their jobs very well, and then he got assassinated after the fact. But I think that's just what happened.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's boring. Like, that doesn't make
boring,
the whole thing around conspiracy theories is that, you know, you can take something that maybe is, there's nothing there, but you can make a story out of it, or you could talk about it, and you can build something off of it. And it's a it's a good jump off point for, you know, talking to people about stuff, starting conversations.
Yeah.
You're going to end up with a lot of nuts that think it's true.
Yeah. So I have two theories about why conspiracy theories are so prevalent. And this will actually transition us to another sort of section about conspiracy theories I want to talk about. But one of them is that I think when people talk about like the Illuminati or the Masons controlling the world, I used to work retail. One of my coworkers was complaining with this. He was, oh, you know, they are holding us down and they don't let you make the money or blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And this was like another associate, so same level as me. And then when our assistant manager comes up, and after, I guess, weeks and weeks listening to all this garbage, probably says, you know what? You're just unwilling to take responsibility for your crappy life.
Yeah,
and you
want
to blame some faceless, nameless organization to be the ones who are holding you down. But, like, what are you doing to advance yourself? So I think that's one reason why conspiracy theories are popular.
Not to say that there aren't systems in place that are keeping people.
Yes.
I mean, the whole blanket they and the government and, you know, the shadow people and the lizard people, they don't blink. And
there's systematic social causes for people to be deprived from opportunity. But it's not like some
it's not
stone cutters in The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's not just a table in a badly lit room of faceless guys saying, "Oh well, Matt can't go to Matt can't get any money
because
we don't want him to."
And here's the other theory, I think, why people have conspiracy theories, and this will give me an excuse to talk about something else. But I think people want to find order in chaos. I'll use an example. So my next question for you is going to be, what conspiracy theories do you really hate that you find so ridiculous? And for me, one of them is that whole 9/11 stuff.
Yeah, that's 100%.
And I think all that stuff about, so I'm sure any of our listeners who aren't aware of the conspiracy, basically that's some kind of an inside job in some way. Maybe it was a demolition or something like that.
Right.
Because it looks like a demolition. I think people latch onto those, because they might have some deep-seated hatred of the government or something like that, whatever. But I think they're just, it's too scary to imagine that the world is as chaotic as it actually is. People can, like, bring the most powerful nation to its knees for a couple days with very little technology, and that scares people, so then there has to be something bigger. Guys are tearing in trucks of C4 or whatever it is, which makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
But that one is one I hate. I hate that.
The truthers or the loose change or whatever. Truthers is the Barack Obama one.
Truthers is it. That's 9/11 Truth is the other one.
Yes. Birthers. Excuse me. I'm mixing up my conspiracy theories here. 9/11, ridiculous. The idea that the whole idea of a false flag, that the government is behind something because they want to pass some sort of legislation that the public won't want to get behind unless a tragedy happens, or they want to go to war, but they need public support, and the only way to do that is to fear the populace. That whole idea is so ridiculous to me
Well, supposedly it's happened, like with the Gulf of Tonkin is an example where supposedly they said American ship was sunk by, I think it was the Vietnamese, and that's why they went to Vietnam and all this other stuff. So there's been, I don't know the whole story by that, so I shouldn't bring it up, but I think there's elements of government planning that involves, like, planning for a false flag.
Yeah.
But I think the people who latch onto those examples, I think they're giving society way too much credit. Like, I think if people want to make an excuse to go to war, as evidenced by 9/11, they can use anything to make an excuse to go to war with someone, and or not, for that matter. Like,
if the whole idea that, you know, 9/11 is going to happen, and they want to go to war with Iraq, why would you have them be Saudi Arabian and have the network be in Afghanistan if you want to go and invade Iraq? Like, there's too many pieces that you would have to put into place to, I mean, they did it. They ended up invading Iraq for no reason, or Iraq, excuse me.
Yeah.
But I hate it. Like, the idea, steel doesn't melt at the temperature that jet fuel burns at. It's like, but steel doesn't have to melt for something to collapse. If it gets to the point where the structure, how tall was it?
It's huge. I remember.
It was massive.
Dominated the skyline.
Anything that weakens that structure, there's so much on top of where it hit.
Yeah.
The whole thing's going to come down.
Yeah, I think. And then, like, the popular mechanics had to write a whole article explaining how all the truth or stuff is garbage. And then the editor's accused of being, you know, in cahoots with the government, and then the guy's drive an average car.
The moon landing's another one where people say that's fake.
Do you hate that? I think that's funny. I think that's humorous.
No, I don't think it's humorous because the amount of planning and, you know, the so many great people were involved with getting us to the moon and getting us onto the moon.
Supposedly.
We're not having this argument. It's so unequivocally true. My favorite part to come out of this is supposedly the filming of it was done by Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Have you heard this?
No. I thought you were going to say something else. I'll tell you the story.
Supposedly Stanley Kubrick was the one who filmed the moon landings in the studio in LA or whatever, wherever the hell they did it. So the thing to come out of that is that The Shining, which came out after the moon landing, was Stanley Kubrick's way of apologizing to the American people for faking the moon landing. And there's this whole community of people who have analyzed The Shining to such a degree that each shot or, you know, the way that things are composed or the things that happen in the movie are, well, this is why this happened. It's because Kubrick wanted you to understand that, you know, he felt bad for it's ridiculous, but it's so far down a rabbit hole that it's insane. You know, if you assume, yes, the moon landing happened, if you look at this whole subculture, it's insanity. Yeah. It's hilarious that you can grasp onto this idea that is so far-fetched and then just build your whole life around it and your whole opinion on something around it. It's ridiculous. If you have not looked into if you haven't seen this on the internet, just Google Stanley Kubrick, moon landing, The Shining, and I'm sure you will be on the internet for days.
Yeah, I remember being in high school and there were people saying you listen to, you know, Dark Side of the Moon backwards or something like that and watch Wizard of Oz or all these weird things. But I don't know. Those are funny though, but that's pretty funny. People go that far, I think. But when you said the best thing that came out of the moon landing hoax conspiracy, I thought you were going to say is when one of those guys who promotes one of those websites approached Buzz Aldrin and said, "You know, admit the moon landing was fake." Buzz Aldrin just punched him in the face.
Yes,
that is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Also one of the best things in the world. Yeah. And then, speaking of Buzz Aldrin, he did a guest spot on 30 Rock. I don't remember his line, but he essentially shakes his fist at the moon and just yells at it because he's angry at the moon.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious that they actually got one of the first men to land on the moon.
Yeah.
Say something so ridiculous.
So there's some conspiracy theories. So like 9/11, people, I think my theory about people wanting order kind of makes sense there.
I think so.
I think my theory about people, there's probably some kind of cover up there. Like, I think when they wrap it up, they find passports on the ground. That seems weird to me that they would know that. But regardless, hang on. I'm not debating it. I'm just saying. But I think what happens is, like you said, they manipulate the information and they invade a country that's not even related. Like, so that part of it adds credence, I think, to the kernels of weirdness to the event.
Yeah.
But with the moon landing, like, what is the basis for that skepticism? Like, why would you doubt that? What's the point of doubting it?
Yeah.
What do the people...
It's the whole Cold War mentality that we needed to beat the Russians, we needed to beat the Soviets, and we had to, you know... at that point in the space race, the Soviets were dominating. You know, they had the first satellite, they had the first orbit, they had the first animal in space, first man in space. They were top of their game, but they could not get to the moon.
Question though is that like maybe subconsciously I want there to be a conspiracy for 9/11, right?
Right.
Why would I? What's my subconscious or conscious reason for wanting the moon landing to be fake? Or do you think maybe, conspiracy alert, maybe the Soviets planted the skepticism about the moon landing just to erode confidence?
I mean, but that's just adding a whole other layer to it.
Yeah,
I
can't figure out why people care, why people would think that that's fake.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
It happened. We landed on the moon. They put a plate on the moon that can reflect a laser. If you shoot a laser at the moon, you're able to mathematically determine that you get more particles back because there's a reflector up there than you would if you just shot it at the regular moon. How'd that get there? Did they shoot it up with like a pop rocket? No, they didn't. It's there. The man went up there and put it there.
Take that, moon truthers.
Gee, go to the moon. if you think it's so easy, I don't know. That's what they think.
Yeah. I think we surely do. Okay, so we have conspiracy theories that we maybe think are somewhat accurate.
Yes.
You got aliens, I got JFK. We have ones we hate the most, which I got that whole 9/11 truth. Or you have the moon landing.
Yeah.
Do you have any conspiracy theories or ideas that you kind of wish were true, but you know are kind of ridiculous and aren't necessarily true?
The Illuminati is hilarious to me.
Okay, so break it down for me, because the Masons, I understand that background. What is the Illuminati? What is
I them? Don't really know. Okay. I think the Illuminati is supposed to be, like, next level Mason. Oh. You know, sort of. The Masons are the secret society, but this is the secret society above the secret society. Oh, okay. But that's why the pyramid with the eye is on the American currency, because that's the symbol of the Illuminati. Triangles are everywhere. As soon as you see a triangle, you know that the Illuminati has been there. That's a popular trend on the internet, is people taking pictures of celebrities and pointing out a triangle, which means they're part of the Illuminati, which is so funny to me.
So you want there to be like a council of super rich billionaire kids?
I don't want it to exist, but I think that if it did exist, or if it does exist, it's comical.
Yeah.
See, you know, the fact that, like, what do they do? What would you do if you were
doing a really
Illuminati?
Bad job of running the world if they
oh,
are
my goodness.
Illuminati? We're
well,
destroying
I mean,
our Earth yeah, every day, worse and worse.
That's a conspiracy that I think might gain traction, is people thinking, well, I mean, it's not really a conspiracy. It's people working for petroleum companies that are trying to keep society from believing in climate change.
Yeah.
Because they want to keep oil production up. But it's, at what point do you stop and say, hey, this is, we're going to yeah. all die?
Well, people say there's a conspiracy that the climate change is all fake. Because, you know, Al Gore owns shares in, like, a wind energy company or something, and they're the exact reverse argument, which is ridiculous. Yeah,
it is ridiculous.
But, like, that's the best part of the Illuminati, I think, or, like, the Masons, is that you'd think an organization like that would have a longer view, right? They would look generationally and say, okay,
right.
We need to protect our power. We need to have our great-grandchildren survive. Let's not just destroy everything. Like I said, they're running a really bad job of that, because they're destroying
yeah.
everything. Population's exploding.
Unless it's so far out of sight that one day we just see a rocket leave the Earth, and that's the Illuminati leave. It's like, so long, we're up to Alpha Centauri.
See you later.
Yeah, we did it. We exhausted this Earth, and it's just essentially Elysium.
Yep.
It's just
they live in a ring
yep.
around the Earth, yeah. Just Matt Damon has to save us all.
A subset of the Illuminati that I think is the best is the Denver airport.
Yeah, I saw that on the internet. He's found symbols everywhere.
Oh my goodness. The biggest argument for the Illuminati being part of the production of the Denver airport is the new Denver airport was built when there already was a Denver airport. That is one of the biggest arguments for why it has to be some sort of shadow society that made this airport. There already was an airport. Like, that has never happened in the history of humankind, that an airport, two airports are built in the same city. So, but there's so much stuff that there's a lot of artwork in the airport, and it's sort of strange and off-putting. Supposedly that is some sort of, you know, sign that it's part of the shadow society. Yeah. Lots of triangles. There's a giant horse that's statue, and it has red glowing eyes, which is something. Yeah. I mean, It's a weird place. I've seen pictures of the Denver airport, and I mean, you think airport and you do not think the Denver airport, but that doesn't mean that some, you know, cabal of hundreds of, you know, white men that control humanity would build an airport
that's what I don't get. So if someone looks at the founding fathers and like looks at the dollar bill or the Declaration of Independence and reads their memoirs and finds weird connections, that kind of stuff. Okay, maybe there's some credence there. But why would you build an airport, or why would you actively promote the fact that you're a secret society
yes.
building airports in America's, what, like, 30th largest city for no... Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, the fact that they would try and get people to know that they exist. No, that's the exact opposite.
That's their only mandate is to just leave cryptic clues around the Denver airport.
If there is a secret society, no one knows about it.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
They would be doing, if they're as powerful as the Illuminati supposedly are, they would have it well within their reach to make sure nobody except for those who are in their group know about it.
That's what there's the, you know, the Bilderberg group or something like that, where I guess
Bilderberg, like a hamburger?
I forget what it's called, but anyway, it's like world leaders meeting in the forest somewhere and doing all kinds of weird, like, you know, the skulls or what's called, like the Harvard organization. Anyway, the whole thing is there's like these meetings that happen in rural areas with the world leaders and business leaders, and there are these people online, kind of like an Illuminati thing, where they think these guys go in this forest and meet and discuss, you know, how to run the world, which I think might be true only in so far as how do powerful people get together and meet without the press following them around and just scripted press releases. Maybe they have to have some privacy. It doesn't mean it's some nefarious, let's go build another Denver airport plan. It might just be they're getting together to figure out what's going on. The world's falling apart. Let's figure this out.
It's, I think, a good way to look at conspiracy theories is sort of the way that you look at being an adult when you're a kid. When you're a kid and you look at adults, you think they've got everything figured out. You know, they know everything. They know what they're doing. They have a plan. They've got, you know, at some point in time, they got all of the answers. And, yep, that's what being an adult is. And they just do it. And then you become an adult and you realize that nobody knows what they are doing.
No, not a single person.
It's, everyone is flying by the seat of their pants. And it's terrifying that, you know, people who build huge skyscrapers, people who are flying planes, nobody really knows what they're doing with their lives.
The guy who's sitting beside you cheating on his engineering exam is going to build a bridge someday and you're going to drive over it. It's terrifying.
And, you know, as a non-member of the Illuminati, you've got, you know, you think, oh, there's got to be some group of people that have got it all together. Yeah. And they are able to, you know, they're able to plan things perfectly. And if they want some South American country to be overthrown and, you know, but nobody knows about it. And, you know, like it's that was a bad example.
Yeah, I know.
That has actually happened.
Yeah, but that's not really a
conspiracy theory, though.
Right.
I think anyone with a discerning knowledge of any kind of history can say, okay, the CIA did this.
For me, but it's like, you know, oh, rich people are keeping the man down or whatever. And, you know, not to say that rich people aren't doing things through legislation and that kind of stuff, but just by being a rich person if you were to get to that level, you would realize, oh, I'm just as dumb as everybody else in the world.
I read in the news a couple of days ago about a bridge that was built, I think, between Germany and one of its neighbors, and it didn't, when they were building it from both ends and when they reached the middle, they didn't match, because I guess Germany bases its elevation off the sea level, off like the North Sea or something like that.
Really?
And one of its neighbors bases off like the Atlantic or something like that. So they didn't match up. So you think like probably a multiple $1 billion project.
Yeah.
So the Illuminati sitting on a table deciding, you know what, we're going to build this bridge, and they still screw it up. I don't know. I think that's definitely your analogy for adulthood, I think, completely sums up.
Yeah. No, there's no point in time where you get all of the answers, and no matter what you're, you know, what life is throwing at you, you know, whether you're the champion of industry or whether you're a guy working as a dishwasher, you know, at no point do you get all of the answers. And I think the idea that a group of people can get together and with authority do something is ridiculous, because anytime I worked in a group, it is proven that no one could do anything with anyone.
If you take that, so that kind of deconstruction of why that kind of Illuminati world that makes no sense, and then apply it to every other conspiracy theory. So let's look at that, the moon landing, or look at that at 9/11, or even, I guess, JFK, all the ones we talked about today. The amount of people it would require to achieve any of these things.
Yeah.
And no one gets it wrong. Like no one vocalizes or goes public about it. And it works out perfectly. Like 9/11, if that was an inside job, as they say, that Illuminati group has to be airtight. And everything they did was perfect. That seems unlikely, considering nothing ever goes perfectly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it's the amount of people from that original moon landing, you know, NASA employees who were in the control room that have died since then.
Yeah.
No one on their deathbed said, well, there's nothing I have to hide anymore, and then said, yeah, it was all a fake. No one. Not a single person.
The only sad thing about that, then, is that by using that same logic, no one has ever on their deathbed said, we've discovered aliens anywhere, which is the one we both agreed we liked. So that's a disappointing way to end the podcast.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, my heart's still in that. Yeah. Aliens scare the crap out of me. They are the grays or whatever, the popular idea of what aliens look like, terrify me to no end. So I'd like for them not to exist. I just feel like, I feel strangely like they do.
I think the seeing things in the sky, maybe, but all the abduction stuff, that stuff's too crazy for me. I think even if people's lives are ruined, there's this vaguely sexual stuff that happens to people when they're being experimented on. It seems like there's some other kind of pathological or psychological thing going on. He probably just needs some kick.
Yeah, that's probably mental health stuff, but still. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up our conspiracy theory podcast, or maybe we can call it Conspiracy Theory Podcast 1, because I like this a lot.
We could pick this apart.
But we appreciate very much you listening to our podcast. How do you feel with this, Joe?
I feel very good. I'm glad we talked about it, and I'm sure there's a lot more. We didn't even touch... I teased it briefly, but lizard people.
Oh, lizard people.
We did not talk about them at all.
That's going to be one of the upcoming episodes.
Yeah, for sure.
People, yeah.
All right, so we're going to touch back on this a lot later. But thank you, everyone, for listening. And I'll let you send us off.
We'll see you guys next podcast.
Thank you for your patronage. We will see you next week.